You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
GBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGGB. On WGBB, it's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
Oh, I've been
where
off so long.
Been?
I'm getting...
You're off, but I continue working. I just slave away. I never take a day off. I work 125 days a year.
You're the glue that keeps the program together.
Hey, no. We have an Irish program today, I hear. Pat and Mike are going to be here. Is that right? Pat and Mike, they're calling in from Chicago.
They're calling in.
That's wonderful.
It's
Pat and Mike.
Pat and Mike?
Patricia Pacer and her husband, Mike.
I guess so.
I mean, come on.
Are they on the phone, Trev?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Well, we can talk.
We can talk. Maybe I should
call
her.
What did you do on your vacation?
Well, Palmer, I'll be quite honest with you. I didn't do anything. I went fishing. I went to the beach. I went to the lighthouse. I went to the sun.
And I slaved away.
And you slaved away.
I did a workshop last Saturday, and the Saturday before,
I
worked so hard. There's no time off for me.
Keep working.
You know?
Good.
And you know what I like, though? God pays very good money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The phone is ringing again.
There it goes.
Hold on.
All right.
Hi, Lori.
Hello.
Yeah, what's happening? It's just ringing and ringing. Hold on.
Well, while you're going there, I'm going to read the scriptural reflection for the week.
Read the reflection. I'm going to talk to the engineer.
Yeah. Okay. You know, he gets so excited over these things, but we know that God leads our program, and we just got to wait for the mechanics of it to work out. Our anonymous writer starts our show off with a scriptural reflection for the week. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom of knowledge of God. How inscrutable are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways. Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Whenever we are confronted by the mystery of life, and all its perplexities, we should remember the words that we just read. We are so used to wanting exclamations that are convenient for us and fit themselves into categories we are most comfortable with when life seems too big or too much for us. Anybody out there do that? I know I would never do that. We need to rejoice in our littleness, or our puniness, if you will, before God and his ways. The most self-defeating attitude or prayer we can have or make is to see ourselves as equal before God, as if his logic should follow our logic, our way of understanding or doing things. To think this way is to want to make ourselves into God. When we consider how small and insignificant we are before God, a tremendous reality is revealed to us. When we do that, we discover God's love and God's care for us. We rejoice in the daily bread he provides us, rather than become anxious over our long-term desires we want fulfilled. To live this way gives us patience with ourselves, with life, and with one another. We trust in God's design and plan for our life rather than our own. Remember Mother Teresa's words? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Yes, we are created to do great things, but by great God means because of the fullness of sacrificial love, they are seen to be great. To care for a sick child or a parent, to listen to a person struggling with life's ups and downs, to give even when you have so little to give. All these are examples of trust before the inscrutable judgments of the unsearchable ways of God. All this demonstrates what true love of God and for God is about. The true believer starts each day bowing low before God, and in doing so, discovers how God has bowed even lower before this, before us. From this encounter, true love is born. Hey, Tony, I know you were off trying to get that phone call straightened out.
Well,
but, you know, our anonymous contributor really gives some wonderful words. And he says that when we want to have God answer the petitions our way, we tend to make ourselves into God.
Absolutely.
And that what we have to do is to become little. So now when we're concerned about phone messages coming in, we just say, hey, God, it's up to you. It's in your hands.
It's up to you.
And we're not going to worry about anything.
Okay.
Because we just don't think that way.
All right, so now we got to
have a program. Let's wait a minute. We have a program of saints to be. And we're waiting for many of our listeners to become saints. And believe it or not, I have Satchmo here.
Sisters and brothers.
Would the saints come marching in?
Yeah.
Getting ready to beat out this mellow
song. So should we bring Lori on? Or should we, what do you
mean? Yeah, we'll bring her on right after the song.
Oh, okay.
Is she there?
Bottom down
yeah, she's
the
there.
Aisle
okay,
with
she can wait for the song.
Okay.
Hi, Lori. It's not Lori, isn't it, Pat?
Oh, no, I got a crazy partner here.
Well, you know, whoever's on the phone, we're just waiting for God to work things out and straighten it out. You are evangelizers, so you understand what we're saying.
Oh, sure we do. Sure we do.
Come on, Satchmo, sing. Get in the mood, Tony.
I love this song.
Oh, when the saints
go come marching in.
Don't sing, Tony.
Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, I
go, Satchmo.
In that number, when the saints go marching in.
Why aren't you dancing?
Lori, are you listening, Lori?
Tony, you're just sitting there pouting. Get in the mood with the music. God's in charge.
It's your show,
saints,
Jesus.
When the saints
go marching in,
come marching in.
When the saints go marching in,
marching in.
Yes, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
It's my favorite song, by the way, Palmer.
You'd never know it by your face. Come on, smile. God's at work here, Tony. God's at work. He's evangelizing. Get up and dance with God.
All right, on the table. Let's get on the table.
Okay, come on.
All right, Palmer, get up the table.
Would you care to tell our listeners who our guests are today?
Yeah, why don't you tell them?
Well, I All think right. we have Pat Pacer. I think it's Pat. And her husband, Michael.
Well, it's actually Lori Pacer.
Oh, Lori, I heard her as Pat.
No, you're wrong. It's Lori.
All right. That's
it's
all right.
Lori and Michael Pacer.
And they have a wonderful program.
And they are the directors of Evangelize All Ministries.
And the music is perfect,
and
Tony.
And the music is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And they have a very good niche, by the way. Why don't we bring them on?
Go ahead.
Lori, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, Michael, good. Can you hear us, Mike?
Yes.
Michael, can you hear us?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Welcome, welcome. Sorry for the
hitch God's
there.
In charge.
I think we got it worked out.
Yes.
And so we're happy to have you guys on the show. We did look at your website. I did listen to your YouTube. And as I was listening and as I was reading, I'm an entrepreneur. And so I said to myself, they are evangelizing, but they found a niche. They found a niche on where to evangelize. Did you know that, Palmer?
Yes, you told me before the show.
Oh, I told you.
So I know it, but I'm not going to steal your thunder. Say whatever you want. It's okay. I don't care. Go ahead.
So why don't we let you guys tell us what
Tell us what the ministry is all
about.
What
are you guys looking to do? How are you evangelizing? Let's hear it.
Well, we are evangelizing at the parish level, and we've created a program that parishes can implement so they become the evangelists.
Hooray. I've read it. Hooray.
Yay. And so, but we think the niche that the Holy Spirit opened up for us and led us to was the ability to renew and rejuvenate the parents of sacramental candidates.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
First communion and confirmation candidates.
And that's your
parents.
Niche. That's the niche.
That's the niche.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You guys must be entrepreneurs because as an entrepreneur, I use that word a lot, niche. And so you knew exactly. You guys knew exactly what I meant when I said niche. So.
You know what I like, though. You
Palmer
have,
didn't know. I had
a. You have a one-day training program, which I thought was real, and you also do missions and you do workshops, and then you follow up with CDs from
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse Media.
And
that's wonderful stuff. We love Lighthouse.
We love. We've had one of the managers on our show regularly, Teresa. And,
wonderful! Yeah, Teresa's fantastic.
Yeah, and they do a wonderful job. They really do.
Tell us what your program is about a little bit more specifically. What are
the
kinds of things you cover?
Yeah, you have something on YouTube that I watched and I taped and all that other stuff. But you spell it out pretty good because you give a lot of statistics there. So maybe you may want to review some of those statistics on that you have on YouTube and why you're doing this stuff. Okay.
Well, you've heard of a 1-2 punch. We have a 1-2-3 punch.
Out of the way, Michael.
We evangelize, we catechize, and we communitize.
Say it again. I missed the 3 points.
Evangelize, catechize, and communitize.
Now, you made that word up.
We made that last one up. That's right. Amen, brother.
I'm copying it, baby. I love it.
So, evangelize, we're going to catechize, and we're communitize. So,
okay.
Lord, why don't you start us off?
Explain it to us. What does all this stuff mean?
Okay. So, evangelize is that conversion of heart, that encounter moment. And we intentionally can create that and set that up. We just, like the apostles, you lay out the good news. So, our format is we start on a Saturday morning, usually around 8 o'clock, and we take everybody up Faith Mountain to Eucharistic Summit. Using our Trinity Compass. So throughout the day, we use talks and personal witness to flesh out the simple truths of our God, that He is a loving Father, a saving Son, and a transforming Holy Spirit. And we intentionally ask everybody in their heart to accept or reject this message. So it gives everybody the opportunity to say their yes again or for the first time. And then we know that God takes action in that and comes in a special way in the person's heart. And once that encounter moment happens, as I'm sure you guys can attest to, there's no going back.
That's right.
Do you follow through?
We just tee it up and we let God hit it out of the ballpark.
Do you follow through with a period of time with God the Father and with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you
the
do
really
with
neat
that?
Thing is that... it's really important. I think a lot of evangelizing just focuses on the Son. It's very easy to talk about Jesus and Jesus as Lord, and all evangelization has to promote the name, the teaching, the person of Jesus Christ. But our God is triune, and we need the Father, and we need the Holy Spirit as well.
Exactly.
And you know what's wonderful is that the Holy Spirit was given to us on Ascension Thursday to dwell in us. and to teach Amen. Us that truth. And the Father, a lot of people are afraid to approach the Father because he's written up so scarily. But he's,
exactly.
He's
a father. True. We laugh, but it's true.
He's the creator of the whole universe.
But people don't. If they look at Scripture, that he's going to give floods, he's going to punish, he's going to do this, and it's not true at all.
No, no, he's not a slumlord. He didn't create it and then walk away and say, "Here it is. You do it yourself." He's staying with us.
But I think that people have the negative image of the Father, the fearful image. But exactly. Tell us what you do to make it become real for each of the people in the
Good
program.
Good question. You know, I didn't know you were leading up to that.
I think, Lori, why don't you start out with, I'd say we just talk a little bit about the Father's love talk. Because
that's right.
Just gets people ready for the whole day.
Amen.
Yeah, so this is the initial kickoff talk after we do an introductory talk. And so exactly what you're saying, most people have blocks to God the Father, especially as a loving Father. So we break down that simple message, the Father loves you, that in fact he is a Father. Jesus pointed to him as a Father, but he has no gender, but he loves everybody. He's not, you know, all these things that block us, the distorted God image, distorted Father image, sometimes a gender block. We take a few minutes in the talk to point out those blocks to him and ask people to remove them.
And there are
see beyond them.
There are parenting blocks too that get in the way of God the Father.
Exactly. So a lot of people you don't even know, and like you said, a lot of people leave their formation with the mind of a child.
Yes.
So this is a great opportunity to revisit this image, and they don't understand the covenant love and this faithful Father and this loving Father. So we take a few minutes to break that down, and then we point that he loves, that unconditional love, and it's all about you. Do you want this? Are you open to this? Are you willing to become like a trusting child, you know, and allow him to be your Father?
Right.
So when you work with the Father, do you have people give testimonies to how God the Father showed his love to them?
Exactly.
That's the power. And, you know, it's a great Francis's last, you know, Evangelii Gaudium. I mean, he talks so much about the importance of witness.
Yeah.
You can't just listen to lectures.
That's right. Great
to hear the truth of the faith. But what makes it really hit home is, okay, here's the truth, but here how is how it has affected me. This is how I came to understand that the Father loves me.
Okay. You know, at some time, one time in relationship with the Father, I thought I heard him say inside of me, people have such fearful images of me, I'm even afraid of me.
I don't know.
Go ahead. What about Jesus?
Okay. After the first point of, we have as Lori said, we're marching up Faith Mountain towards Eucharistic Summit.
Amen.
And we give people a real simple tool. It's called the Trinity Compass. And, you know, you got those really involved compasses that have 360 points. We keep it simple. Ours has only 3 points. The Father loves you, the Son saves you, and the Holy Spirit transforms you.
Amen.
Oh, absolutely.
I love that.
So the next point is the Son saves you. Lori?
Yeah.
Well, and we pointed to, I think, to round up the Father's love, there was, after somebody gives a personal witness, we also have time for small groups where people can begin to find their voice and begin in a safe environment to express their own journey. And then we lead them to a renewal of the baptism and that entry that Jesus gave us through that beautiful sacrament to be children of the Father.
Amen.
So we complete that section of the compass with the renewal of baptism. Then we lead into the salvation of Son of Jesus, that he always identified himself as the Son, so he set the model for this Father-Son relationship, but also that he came not just to teach and heal, but to save. And two ways is through reconciliation and Holy Communion.
Amen.
So first we flesh out that reconciliation piece, that he came to save us by reconciling us and all that was broken to God, to each other, and to ourselves. So he is the one who offers us salvation if we choose to accept it.
Right.
So it's a simple message. He came to save you. Do you want to be saved? And then we lead into the Divine Mercy skit, and we have Jesus and an ordinary woman, and Jesus comes to save the ordinary woman, and he points out to her that she has a broken heart full of trespasses and trespasses against, and does she want to be saved? And then they go through a process of forgiving those that have trespassed against her, and then also looking at the darts or trespasses she's done against others and saying, let's remove some of those. So, and then it ends with a silly song. And so in a very kind of humorous way, it touches on a serious subject, which is the role of sin in our lives. But also it helps people to get this visualization of Jesus as an approachable Savior who wants to help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not
absolutely.
This unapproachable God,
yeah.
but this very approachable man. So it helps to break down those walls in a little bit of time, which is what we need because we only have a day to bring people on this journey. So,
well, Lori, I don't mean to interrupt. I have a question, but I know mm-hmm. when I ask you this question, you're going to put your eyes up, and you're going to look at your husband and say, this guy's a nut job, and Palmer's going to like fall off the chair. But
I left the room. I'm in a different room, so she can't roll her eyes at me.
Well, I am known as a nut job anyway, so I don't feel bad when they call me.
Question. What?
The question is, how did you get started in all this?
I fell off the chair.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What made you find this niche? Because you did. You found a niche. And what is this niche, and how did you get started in this thing? I know, we know all this stuff about our loving Father and how much Jesus loves us, and we know, we feel it. But why are you doing this? Can I ask that question?
Yeah, of course you can ask that question. We're doing it because there's a simple and a long answer. The simple answer is because of all of us. We're all supposed to be doing this. This is our baptismal calling. We're all supposed to be out there evangelizing.
Oh, that's a great answer, Michael. A wonderful answer.
And then the little bit longer answer is because, Lori likes to say, we were kind of uniquely called, uniquely gifted, and kindly uniquely situated. We're going along in life, living our normal lives, doing okay in the world, but both of us started questioning, is this what we're supposed to be doing? And we asked God, you know, we're willing to
Bingo.
Do
Bingo!
Let us know. What do you want us to do?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he answered the question.
Yeah, bingo, baby, bingo.
And he told us to just leave. And so we left our jobs, and we just started doing what he said
and
to do next.
You gave everything up to follow him.
Yep.
Is that
well,
what I'm hearing?
You know, we're all. It's always hard to give everything up, but kicking and screaming every day, we try to give up a little bit more.
You know, I would like to get back to Jesus, because I know you talked about the reconciliation and the Eucharist. And to me, the Eucharist is the personal, interior, spiritual nourishment that we all need.
It's the foundation of our
source and summit.
Yeah.
Source and summit.
So what do you do with the Jesus component of your day?
So we do the skit, and then that leads everybody, again, somebody witnesses to either the role of reconciliation in their life or their own personal experience with forgiving others or something they had to overcome. We have some time for people to talk and connect on that. We go into the church and we do a healing of memories and forgiveness. We walk
Amen.
Through
Good.
A forgiveness phase. And then we have the sacrament of reconciliation. And this has been such a blessing to us because we are witnessing the majority of people, and sometimes it's even the church leaders, many of them haven't been to confession in 20
yeah.
to 30 years.
Yeah.
So it is quite... an epiphany when they go, like how much freer they feel. And we're seeing about 99% of the people participate and really, really lay it all out there. So that has been the fabulous part, realizing just the mercy that Jesus is able to pour out at that moment on the day.
And I bet you get a lot of tears.
Oh, yeah. And then just a lot of smiles afterwards, you know? And so you can feel the buildup going into it, and then you feel the great relief afterwards.
And then you move into Eucharist?
Then we move into Eucharist. So we say, again, the Son saves you. And again, not in a very vague way. He literally becomes present to us in the sacraments of reconciliation and Holy Communion, where like you were describing, he wants to commune with us. He wants to be one with us. He mm-hmm. wants to nourish us and give us that ongoing grace that we need as we journey on this earth. So we flesh out that simple message. He saves you through this Holy Communion and communing with you. And then we say how hard this sometimes is to visualize, eat my flesh, drink my blood. So we bring somebody on who was there firsthand to experience.
An expert.
An expert. And it's the one, the only, Saint Peter.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I have a face for radio, so the nice thing is when I'm doing this, you know, I get to put the beard and the hair on, and nobody has to look at me, so it goes over real well.
You have a face for radio, too? We do,
we
too.
We do, too.
Yeah, but you guys got the webcam, and I can watch you right there in that room.
Oh, you're not watching this on webcam, are you?
I was, but I'm not right now.
Well, you only see his face in the back of my head, so that's good.
It's a very good-looking back of a head, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I get a lot of looks at his back of his head.
But you know that Eucharist is so important to get across a lot. When we did some workshops around the diocese and we had some posters out on Jesus is truly alive in the Eucharist, we had people, many in their upper years, saying, you mean Jesus is really alive in that Eucharist? Mm-hmm. And it's so important to get that across. That's a central belief we have.
Well, that's the basis of our religion, isn't
it? Yeah.
Isn't it all based on that premise?
Yes.
That Jesus is alive and real in that Eucharist?
I just had a man in a small group a couple days ago, and he said, that's what makes us Catholic.
You got it.
Is that belief in Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
So, again, we find that through somebody coming out and playing this part of St. Peter and how he struggled, you know, with this belief, but yet how he saw Jesus didn't change it. He didn't back away, mm-hmm. even though most everybody left him when he's made those statements. You know, so it's that first person, and it ties it back to the Bible basis of this belief. And a lot of people just, they open their eyes like, wow, you're right. Oh, gosh, I didn't realize. So it's not something some priest made up down the road. I mean, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ, and he lost many of his followers when he said that.
Yeah.
Yet the disciples came to know its truth and then to continue that process to this day
of bringing him to us. And he said to Peter, who do you say I am?
That's
and
right.
He says, you are the Son of God. And he said, that's only revealed to you by my Father. And that's what happens to us.
That was in the scriptures. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you've been reading the scriptures, haven't you?
I certainly have.
Wow.
You know, and
I'm
also
really proud of you, Palmer.
And really important throughout each of these different parts, you know, we have a talk and we have a witness, and then there's, you know, other things to drive it home. But, you know, that personal witness here is really important.
That's
usually
it. Yeah.
A person who's giving the witness is somebody who really didn't, you know, believe or didn't understand mm-hmm. and how they came to embrace the sacrament.
But how did all this happen? It happened through the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's the third
And how would apostles, before, the tongues of fire reached over their heads and made them brave and what do you call it? They were hiding, right?
And that's actually part. It's funny you say that because that's part of the St. Peter monologue. He shares about how, you know, even through all this, he was hiding. He was the one who denied, you know, Jesus
three times.
He was the one who's hiding when, you know, Jesus is being crucified.
Yes.
But then Jesus comes back and says, do you love me? Three times. Yes, I love you. And then he gives him his whole church to feed and to watch over.
Absolutely. The keys. And those that you save shall be saved. And those that you condemn shall be condemned.
So you would then have a section on the Holy Spirit.
We do. And before, one other thing I want to point out, so we have time for small, you know, personal witness, small group again. And then we have about a time for adoration and with benediction.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And this time to worship our Lord in the Eucharist. And for many Catholics, we were blessed. We just did this for a group of teachers that were about to start their school year. And many of them had never done adoration. So, or been exposed to benediction. So that gave them a wonderful opportunity to just sit in quiet, but also experience this beautiful ritual of benediction.
Just Just on a side note, sometimes we've asked, you know, do non-Catholics go to this? Do non, you know, Christians go to this? And the answer is yes. You know, a lot of people, you know, we had many. We actually had just one person we know who's a husband of somebody who's Catholic, and so he went, and he is really a pagan. I mean, no religion, no baptism. Through generations, he was his family was Buddhist, and he was really moved by the adoration.
Yeah.
That sense that meditation. Of God.
Yeah. Absolutely. By the way, we're trying to show you. We read your website.
Well, I'm really trying to spell out the program specifically because I know there are people in parishes who are listening to this as a day of evangelization who may be very interested in following through. Can you finish the Holy Spirit piece?
Absolutely. So then we say, this is all wonderful, but it's the action of the Holy Spirit within us that makes it all real. Mm-hmm. That we don't have to be afraid. You know, the Holy Spirit will transform us if we allow the Holy Spirit to work within us into the children of God that He intended for us to be for all time. And it gives us the gifts, and so we touch on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the fruits that we're all seeking, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, etc. And will you allow, we don't like change, will you allow yourself to be transformed? You have to ask, you have to work with the Holy Spirit in order to be transformed, mm-hmm. but that the Holy Spirit will take this action in your life, sometimes at a very unconscious level, as long as you show some willingness.
Mm-hmm. You have to say yes in some way.
Exactly. Yep. So we intentionally set up the yes, and then we do some prayers asking for a new indwelling, and the team goes around two by two with each person, and we pray with them for a new indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Great.
And we ask that they pray with us and just say that yes as we're praying with them.
Right. I think I read or I heard in your website that 60% of the parents of the children that are making the sacraments aren't involved in the church. Was that correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, that's right out of the Georgetown.
Right, and that's what keeps the pastor of your church up at nights, trying mm-hmm. to figure out how
and
to
bishops.
Reach that and the bishops how to reach those 60% of the parents, and I think. And just to spell it out clearly, I think that's the niche that you're filling, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a way to reach a large number of fallen away Catholics through something that they already identify with, which is the sacramental prep for their children.
Right.
So there's something calling them home to the church, and they desire God, but they just don't know how to go about it sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
And instead of trying, the way things have evolved, this generation of parents, you can't just tell them about Holy Communion or reconciliation. They're so far removed that they really need a conversion experience.
Absolutely.
They need to be re-evangelized.
Absolutely.
Re-proclaim the good news. But many of them have the seed planted there through their own formation as children.
And by coming to the workshop, they say yes.
Yes.
And then you work on them from there. And you follow up with CDs later. I'm going to rush you because we want to get our Saint of the Day in and some other things on the program. But
yep.
Tell us about what that follow-up is like.
So part two is catechize.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have a great experience. You can have that moment, but it's never once and done. You need to follow up. Also, some of these people, you know, the door might have opened up a little bit, but you got to keep working at them. So they walk away with a packet of some CDs from Lighthouse Catholic Media.
Right.
So that's... Right away, they've got something. If they loved it, they're going to listen to them right away.
Right.
If they're not sure, they'll throw them in their glove compartment, but they'll listen to them some point, which is awesome, too.
Absolutely. That's what I do.
The other thing is, we, you know, in the world of emails, e-solutions, e-commerce, we have an e-epistle.
Yes.
St. Paul would be jealous of that one.
Mm-hmm.
So once a month, they get an email.
Good.
It'll take the first two sections, thought and challenge for the month. It'll take them 20 seconds to read. And when they're ready to go deeper, the third part of the email has link to all sorts of great teachings,
wonderful.
Doctrine, books, videos, CDs, you
wonderful.
Name it, it's there.
Great.
Well thought out.
Great.
And there's also a third part, and that's communitize. If Laura, you want to talk about that?
So we want to encourage people also to, they enjoy the small community on the day and they get a taste of it, but we also know that we need to journey with others, so we encourage the formation of live communities. And so we have formatted a faith and fellowship meeting. And these are open to anybody in the parish. You don't have to have gone on a day of renewal. There's no gateway, so to speak, to come to. It's just a willingness to grow closer to God. So they have a, from our years of experience with small groups, we formatted something that's really easy to follow, yet powerful and prayer-centered. So people gather for an hour. We say, if you can read, you can lead. It gets everybody engaged in different parts of the meeting. The heart and soul is reflecting on the upcoming week's gospel. So going around in a circle and having everybody say, what does that mean to you personally? I think, I feel. And this helps people, besides getting the inside scoop on other people's thoughts, you know, which is so nourishing, they also help develop their own voice. You know, many Catholics, we have been taught many wonderful things, but we've never, and sometimes we've grown up culturally Catholic, so we haven't developed a voice on how to speak about things. Mm-hmm. So in a very safe environment, we learn to reflect and speak about the words of Jesus. So this can, in a small way, can help that evangelization piece in the person's life.
It's almost like a mini prayer group?
Yep, it's a prayer group, and but again, it's very inclusive. And we encourage these, it only takes two people to start a group, but we encourage them to be held at the time of religious ed if the parish has like a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning program, so that the parents can come in and pray with others, connect to the gospel, and in time, develop these faith-based friendships.
Now, Lori, if a parish is so meaning to want to start such a program, mm-hmm. how would they start it? Would they start it through you, or what would they do? Go to your website? What do you suggest they do here to reach the three parts, evangelize, characterize, and communalize, whatever word you made up there? But how should they do it?
Probably through the website. It has all our contact information.
Uh-huh.
Right now,
your website is Evangelize Us.
EvangelizeAll.org.
.org.
Okay.
All one word, EvangelizeAll.org.
Right. And
so all our contact information is there. And at this point, we would come out and put on the first one, and then we turn over the materials and everything for the parish to continue being the evangelist.
I see. Wonderful. Because I see that our parish is attempting something like this. Not exactly like yours, but they're attempting
it. It's well thought out.
It would be, yours is well thought out. And I'm sure people from our parish are listening to
it. Now, can I explain why I took so much time to go through that? I am in touch with the prayer groups from the Diocese of Rockville Center. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the CD of this program, and I'm going to send it out to the pastors of the 135 parishes that we have.
And we're going to send you guys this too.
And just see if they'd be interested in starting something like this in their own parish. It's very, I read your materials very carefully. That's why I really stayed on top of it. I really liked them a lot, and I think you put together a structure that's very realistic.
It's more than that. It's different. It's different. They find the niche. They solve the niche there. It's got a lot more to it than meets the eye. I think that's my feeling anyway.
The beauty is really in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The beauty is, I really feel that if you were to go back 2,000 years and you were to follow around the apostles, you know, before we developed a lot of a lot of bureaucracy. This was pretty simple. You sat down for a day, whether it was the Jewish meeting, synagogue, the temple, or the Greek meeting place, and you personally proclaimed the kerygma, the good news.
Absolutely.
You invited acceptance, and you brought people in.
Absolutely.
And you know,
and it has been, we want to tell you too, it's been so life-giving to us to stand back. And you watch the charism as we were just trying to respond to the Holy Spirit. And we see what Pope Francis is saying, and that is joy. At the end of the day, you see it's life-giving to both the people putting it on and the people receiving it because you've just filled that void that they have been trying to fill with so much other stuff.
Yeah.
And you see joy, and you experience joy because, like you said, our Father is a loving Father. Jesus came to bring us salvation, not condemnation. And the Holy Spirit can do the heavy lifting if we allow it.
Yeah.
I want to move into the saint of the day.
Yep.
Because we, all of our saints have been touched by God just by the way you're saying it.
In one way or another.
And who do you have for us today, Tony?
Well, I happen to have. Today is the feast day of St.
We're not finished with the couple.
No, we have to come back to them. Right. Yes, we'll be back to you guys. So don't leave us because there's some other stuff we have to go over. Today's the feast day of St. Rose of Lima. And I just was touched on her her beauty and her simplicity and her desire just to be in the eyes of God. And so she was a beautiful baby and later a beautiful child. Everyone said so and everyone felt that way. And because her cheeks were such a pretty pink and they named her Rose, which was a lot easier to remember than her real name, which, listen to this one, Palmer, Isabel de Flori Ye del Oliva.
Oh, my gosh.
You think you can remember that?
I'd run out of ink.
I chose her because she reminded me a little bit of you. Now, Michael, you're watching us, right, on the webcam, and you could see how handsome Palmer is, I'm sure. And so he tries to hide his handsomeness by putting his head towards the camera.
Excuse me, I have to go out and throw up. I'll be back.
Okay. So she was born in Lima, Peru, and her family had fallen on hard times. They had originally come from Spain and had become rich by mining in the mountains of South America. But the mines, like everything else, failed. Nothing is forever, so they thought. And now the family lived in poverty in Lima. In those days, most young women got married as soon as they were old enough, and everyone was sure that Rose, being so beautiful, would marry very early in life. The parents secretly hoped that she'd marry a rich young man who could help her and not only her, but help her whole family. But Rose didn't like being pretty. She hated it.
I don't like it either.
I know. I could tell
you
why you keep your head to the camera. She hated people noticing her and admiring her, like you, Palmer. And she didn't even want to be married. One day, when she was, some young man fell in love with her, she rubbed her face with pepper until it was red and blistered. And because everyone called her Rose, she decided to wear a crown of roses on her head. But she made it out of very prickly ones and pushed it down hard onto her head so that the thorns stuck into her scalp and made it bleed.
Does she have insurance? I'm a psychologist.
I know.
Go ahead.
So why did Rose behave so very oddly? In her mind, it was simple. She wanted everyone to love and praise Jesus and no one else. Certainly not her. Why should they all be admiring her? She also wanted to give up her whole life to serve him. So although she loved her parents and wanted to obey them, she refused to get married. One thing she did do to please them was needlework. She was extremely good at sewing and took jobs that helped support the family, which made her family very happy, of course. Then she read a book about St. Catherine of Siena, who we know very well.
That's his parish.
That's my parish. She decided she wanted to copy her way of life. She did this in a strange way, too, just like everything else she did. She got her brother to help her build a garden shed. She called that her ghetto. And from then on, she lived there all the time. She spent the time praying and started going without food 3 times a week. Rose believed that many people cared very little about Jesus, She also believed she would make up for their thoughtlessness and carelessness by suffering the pain and hardship she was putting herself through. So when she found ways of deliberately hurting herself, she wore gloves full of needles. She slept on a pile of bricks. She made her hands rough, and then she cut off all her hair. It's not surprising that many people thought she was mad. You ever hear that, Palmer?
I heard.
People thought she was mad. You come right into play here. Many of them tried to persuade her to live normally. Others just laughed at her. But Rose did many worthwhile things. She helped the people of Lima who were ill and suffering, especially the poor, the Native Indians, and the many slaves that the Spanish kept there in those days. Then one day, she made an announcement. She said that the city of Lima had been saved from an earthquake because of her prayers. Immediately, she became popular throughout the city. No one thought she was mad anymore. Everyone thought she was mystical. But no one seemed to ask whether there was been an earthquake if he hadn't been praying. No one asked, did you save us from the earthquake? For 14 years, she continued living a life of deliberate hardship. It was no wonder that it made her body ill, and she died at the early age of 31.
Wow,
31. Many saints died in the 30s, 31, 32,
I don't remember
33.
30.
Neither do I.
I have trouble with 50.
So, Michael, you're watching us on a webcam. You know, we used to advertise ourselves as being two young kids in love with Jesus until they started with this webcam, and many people are starting to watch it. Now we can't advertise that anymore.
But, you know, a lot of saints really did do some very peculiar things, and they suffered.
Yes, intentionally.
Intentionally
suffered.
Yeah, and I have trouble with that because I have so much suffering in my own life.
I know.
And I think people would say that. When you said she was interested in needlework, I thought you were going to say she was sticking herself with needles or something like that.
She helped support a family with that.
Okay.
Well, you're a psychologist. What would you say about this?
Well, I wouldn't know what to say.
Oh, finally we got you, Palmer.
How do you people work with the saints in your materials? Do you do anything with them?
Do I do anything?
No, I'm talking to Lori and Michael.
Oh, Lori and Michael?
Are they still there?
Lori? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Do you work with the saints at all? Do they come into a play in some way?
I think a lot of times, through people's own personal witnesses, we'll see people talk about the saints. Obviously, Mary has a beautiful way of always creeping into everything.
Absolutely.
Her mother, and she loves us.
Yes.
The basic charismatic message, we keep it pretty simple and let people make it personal.
You know, I was at church yesterday, and we have a priest, and he's funny. And he ends up by saying he was celebrating St. Mary the Great, which is the Blessed Mother.
Right.
And he goes on talking about believing in Mary and letting Mary lead you to Jesus and everything else. And he said, of course, if you don't believe in St. Mary the Great, you can always go to St. Jude.
True.
You know, there are strange priests around, too. That look at that.
Well, it's good news for you, Palmer, being a psychiatrist, right? So what do we...
How do we bring this all to a close for you people? How
do
we help you evangelize our diocese?
Well, I think, you know, the big thing is what you guys are doing, and God bless you. I mean, you know, you found your voice. You're out there. You're preaching, you know.
Oh,
and I say preaching in a good way, proclaiming. Maybe sometimes people don't like preaching because it has a negative connotation, and maybe the word proclaim is better because that's what we're all called to do, every single one of us.
You know, that's beautiful,
we're called
Michael.
To be an evangelizer.
Yeah. Michael, that's a beautiful statement. I think I may copy that. Do you mind?
Now, please do. And you know what? I didn't come up with it. You know, one of the great, I love one of the lines in the recent letter by Francis where he says, and again, it's nothing new. Everyone, you know, picks up on maybe this pope says something. Oh, wow, that's cool. He just created that. No. It's been the teaching for thousands of years. And that is, first of all, be evangelized. then go out and evangelize.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, of course, keep working, keep learning, keep studying, but don't enroll in a 10-year doctorate program and then think you will then finally have the ability to go out and share the faith. Everyone is ready to share the faith, and if nothing else, share your love for God, because that's the most powerful witness anyway.
Absolutely, and that's our mission statement, by the way, Michael, for our radio show, is to evangelize the love of Jesus. And
see,
that's what we're trying to do.
Everybody can do that. Yeah. Everybody can.
Would you
but
give
in a
us...
very realistic way, we are hoping to get this out.
Yep.
Yes.
We're following in the draft of the Holy Spirit to lead us, but our idea for now is to get seeds planted, wherever the Holy Spirit leads us to. We've started locally. We're just reaching out to all the different dioceses just to make people aware of that we're out there, and then we're just hoping through word of mouth and the work of the Holy Spirit that we will get into parishes. And we're looking for, the Holy Spirit to lift up those lead parishes that can be the engines that help get other, neighboring parishes started, others in the diocese perhaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then kind of go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and I think that's a good way to start it. Absolutely.
Because we're starting to meet with a lot of dioceses, and it's great, but realistically, the top-down model is not as good as the bottom-up.
That's right.
Right.
Where just a parish who loves this starts it. They're sometimes the best ones to get it going. That's how we're starting up the Diocese of Venice, Florida this fall.
Why don't you give your website again, by the way, before we sign off?
Evangelizeall.org. That's one word, evangelizeall.org.
And so do your phone numbers on that website? And
phone
numbers,
contact
emails, information?
Everything.
Twitter, Facebook.
Great.
You know, just before we finish, we also use a period of time on the radio show praying for different petitions.
Yes.
And I would like to ask the Lord today for our petition to be that this program catch on in our diocese. Because I believe after reading your materials carefully, and I went through it very carefully, and looking at it, I really, truly think that you could get to our young people in our diocese through something like this.
Right, and their parents. That's your target market, isn't it? Their parents.
Well, I don't know, but by young people, I'm talking about 20, 30,
oh, yeah,
40-year-olds.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And I think you could get to them very easily, because we have faith formation groups for these young adults, but they have no place to go to talk or to meet people. And this program is so clearly structured and so nicely done that it's almost like a turnkey training program. And
it feeds into whatever the parish or diocese is doing. This doesn't compete with anything. It just is an attendant thing. It's just something that lifts people up and then feeds them into all the other wonderful things that you're already doing.
And it doesn't put any extra work on the
very little
priests,
absolutely,
because the priests are already overloaded. Can we stop and say that prayer now?
Yes, let's do,
just,
please.
Lord, we place ourselves in your presence, and we ask you, Jesus, would you please touch the hearts of maybe 5 parishes of our 135 parishes just by the words of this program, and at least to have them become curious and begin to look at these materials. It is such a simply organized and well-structured program that we know it was put together by you, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit and our 2 people, Laura and Michael. And we ask, Lord, touch the hearts of our listeners to go on the website, evangelizeall.org, so that they can even get a glimpse of the programs that are out there, either on YouTube or Facebook. There are enough young people who can can't live their lives without Facebook or without Twitter. And we ask you, Lord, touch them. If any are listening, just touch one who begins to look at this and perhaps picks up the baton and keeps on running the race for our young people. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. We offer these words to you and these prayers to you now. And we also offer prayer for the healing of our listeners And we have so many petitions that come in. And Anthony, you have petitions I know that want to talk about. Go ahead.
Well, Jesus, and we give you praise and glory and thanks. And we thank you for bringing Lori and Michael to us.
Although I think it should be Pat. But go ahead.
And sharing. No, it's Lori and Michael. and sharing their evangelization with all listeners, Jesus. We thank you so much. We thank you for allowing us to do the radio show, Jesus. We thank you for our audience. We raise up the petitions that we received on the radio show. There are so many people that are hurting, so many people that are suffering, so many people out of work, so many people that have diseases. And we lift up these petitions to you, Jesus, and just give you thanks and glory. We thank you for allowing Al Barbarino to sing the theme song. We thank Paul Val for writing the theme song for us, who's doing a musical in five towns and has offered all our listeners half-price tickets or full-price tickets, and the difference will be donated to our radio show.
Wonderful.
And I think so many blessings we have, Jesus. We thank you. And we thank you for allowing us to apply for a nonprofit, which will be
soon.
And
I'm hearing something for Lori and for Michael in my heart. And I get words, and the word is very simple. I have anointed you too to be evangelizers for me. I have given you this program so simply organized that it can be followed by anybody, even Dr. Tony and Dr. John. That is so simple and so easy to pursue. And I want the two of you to know that we bless your efforts, and we fill you both now with our peace and our love and our grace, because truly, truly, you are faithful to our call to you.
Absolutely.
And Tony, I'd like to end the program with Mark Forrest singing Faithful to Your Call.
Let's do it. And thank you. Thank you for being on our show, guys.
Thank you,
listeners.
Be assured of our prayers and our gratitude for what you guys do.
You know, we had a little rough start, but you know what? It's ending up very smoothly, and as we knew it would. So thank you. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Mark Forrest.
Okay. You're in our prayers. And I'll be sending you a disc of the show, by the way, in a letter. And you're going to love what you're going to get in the mail.
Amen.
Amen.
See you next week, folks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, listeners.
Thank you.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views
from the heart of the nautical mile.